What's he talking about? What's in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box? What's in the fucking box?
Yeah, and then
what's in the box?
Yeah, and then he
what? What's in
the
what's in the
what's in the box? Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting, murderific episode. Whoa, wait a minute. Of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
I'm a nutbag.
A nutbag?
A nutbag.
Hey, tell me something. When you're doing things in the morning, like, and you know, do you know you're crazy? You know you're insane?
I'm not insane.
Okay, but, like, say for a minute you're Kevin Spacey.
I'd rather not.
Alrighty, you are?
Oh, I'm Gus.
Gus, and we are the Brothers Movie Factory. On this podcast of the movies, by the movies, for the movies, I would say we are...
The...
Movie.
Oh,
I was going to say move, and then, and, okay, that
ease.
Did not work. But... we take a movie every week. We watch that film from our past. We then dissect the film, talk about what's good, talk about what's bad, and then we submit that movie to the factory. This is the fun part of the show. This is where we take the film we just watched. We change up the director as if the movie was coming out today. We change up the composer to modern-day composers, and then we look at the actors and actresses that are available in today's field and throw them into this movie as if it were being remade. Sound good? Great. Just like gluttony.
Sounds like a spaghetti
eat
dinner.
This podcast.
Sounds like a good spaghetti dinner.
All right, well, getting into the movie, I was about to make reference to the movie, but we didn't even break the movie down yet. This week, we watched the fantastic movie, Seven.
Did you find it fantastic? Because this, ladies and gentlemen, Ben's first viewing of said Seven.
Yes, I've seen, I mean, I've watched the last, like, 20 minutes of it,
yeah.
Which was funny. But I think the only reason I did, I think it was just on TV. And I picked up, like, right after when he turns himself in.
I think that was right around, we mentioned the podcast a few weeks ago, your, like, early high school years, you, like, got real into movies.
Yeah.
Just watching movies all the time. Good movies. And I think it was around that time you caught the tail end of Seven, but it never came back to you.
No. And honestly, I don't know why. I mean, they're not pleasant movies to watch, but like murder crime movies like this that have a lot of like cringiness to them, like Silence of the Lambs and Seven and Along Came a Spider, which isn't really a murdering movie, but it's kind of like a mystery, dark film. Those ones,
The Bone Collector.
Yeah, they never do it for me in the sense that they just, that's like, I have a fear, like growing up, one of my biggest fears was being kidnapped. And so I did not like those films, especially Along Came a Spider. I remember that film because that's like about kidnapping and shit. I never liked that. But like Seven, like gives, it, those types of movies like Silence of the Lambs and Seven, they give me like a very uneasy feeling. And I don't like feeling that way when I'm enjoying myself watching a film.
I hear you. I'm the same way with certain genres. Not this genre. I actually really enjoyed this genre of film. But
when you watch Adam Sandler movie,
no.
You're like, this doesn't give me the right feels.
No, like, actually, I'm not a big fan of war movies. There are certain ones that I do like. I like Saving Private Ryan. I like Dunkirk. I like Grave of the Fireflies.
I don't know why. I just had a moment in my head.
You're like, I'm fucking
angry. No. I thought about it. I'm like, I just kind of thought in my head, I'm like, who am I casting as my killer again in this episode? Oh, yeah, this guy.
Okay.
And I was like, wait a minute. He's not going to cast Tobey Maguire, is he? Are you? You son of a bitch!
No, I'm not. Not anymore.
Like, no, that's ridiculous. I wasn't going to do that.
No.
You crying? No.
Best friends. Harry. Spider-Man 3 reference.
That's taken care of. Here we are.
World War II movies don't do it for
Hacksaw
me.
Hacksaw Ridge?
I don't like that one.
Why?
I just don't like it.
Because a certain Andrew Garfield?
I don't like his face. I don't like Andrew Garfield. And I don't like war movies.
You're like,
much.
I like his hair too much. I want it.
And movies about drugs. Not really my jam.
Like Requiem for a Dream?
Don't like it too much.
I've never seen that. Clockwork Orange.
That's not really about drugs. It's not about drugs.
It's about penis statues.
That movie's...
I haven't seen that one either, so I'm just shooting.
We'll dive into that one day. That's a big nut to chew on.
Apparently.
Yeah, well. But, yeah, drug movies like Wrecking for a Dream, Scarface, Trainspotting.
I need to see Scarface.
Not my jams.
I need to see it, though. I've never seen it.
So, but yes, Seven, a crime drama at its finest, a masterclass in movie making.
Mm-hmm.
It's
literally like a three-part episode of Criminal Minds. I was like, if this was Criminal Minds now, they'd have them already. There'd be cameras everywhere and a Ring doorbell waiting for someone.
But why would they really have caught him if it was an episode of Criminal Minds by that point in the movie?
They would have just broken it down.
No, you said because it's 45 minutes long each episode. Yeah. They would have found him by now.
Well, they could have done a three-part. I'm rewatching Criminal Minds. I'm on the season finale of season 5, which is the one with Timothy Curry. Mm. And that's a two-parter. It's pretty creepy.
As soon as you said that Criminal Minds bit there, I was like... Sam and Dean, they would have figured this out already, too.
Sam and Dean would have figured it out. It was just a ghost all along. They would have got God's help, and they would have been fine.
Yeah, they got angels, and they'd be like, who's doing these sins? Like, we'll find them.
Yeah. They've already dealt with the seven deadly sins. They dealt with the fucking four horsemen.
Yeah, they got that in the bag.
Yeah, they're
fine. But, no, interestingly enough, Seven is directed by David Fincher. This is his second movie.
On his seventh?
No, his second movie he has done. He started in commercial work and had a lot of success there. He got his big break in Alien 3. Now, Alien 3 is seen by many as a disaster of a film. It's not too great. It feels kind of funny, and it doesn't feel like an Alien movie.
Because, it goes away from what made Alien great.
Yes. And I think it's one of those cases, it's well known that producers had their hand way too high up the ass of this movie, puppeteering it around. And David Fincher, it wasn't really his movie, and he got a lot of the shit for it. So it kind of turned him off from movie making. He went back to doing commercial work, had a lot of success doing that. He also did music videos and things. I recently went back and watched some of his commercials. You don't hear people say this too much, but like, that was a really good commercial.
It made me laugh. You're like, he did a lot of commercial work, and I just watched them, and they were really good commercials. I'm like... Okay.
You gotta think of it.
You're like, he got some big names in there, like little tiny movies.
Yeah, they're like little narratives. And that's like when
we do not bow to our sponsors.
Most commercials nowadays is like people running in the forest and then they like save a baby from a fire and then it's like drink Coke. You know,
it's all B-roll.
It doesn't make any sense.
Let's make that commercial. I would probably be more inclined to buy a Coke if I watched like people running through a forest, they save a baby from a fire and they're like Coke. I'm like, fuck, I'm thirsty.
So there's the script going around for Seven, and a lot of people were trying to get at it because of it's the ending of the script. A lot of people thought it would be a great successful movie. So studio got a hold of this New Line, and they were on the hunt for a director. David Fincher, he applied and he got the gig, and he was off and he made his movie. Finally, he got to make his kind of movie.
And it does have a very David Fincher-esque feel to it.
Yeah, like pretty much every movie he's done after this, you're like, you feel his stamp. And it's mostly done from his camera work and the sense of mood he creates with his camera work and the cinematography, especially in this movie, you really feel this place. Now, I for the folks listening at home, we watched this movie tonight. Ben here, he asked, what city does this take place in? New York? I'm like, no. He's like, Pittsburgh. I'm like, no.
I saw it. We're in the Giant Eagle down in the Market District.
No, I said, if you can guess or tell me what city this takes place in by the end of the movie, you get a cookie. Will you get a cookie? Where did this movie take place? Where is the city?
Arizona.
No.
Los Angeles.
No.
San Diego, which of course is Scandinavian for a whale's vagina.
No.
No.
One more guess, or else I'm keeping the cookie.
Well, there was like a desert. That's what I'm getting at. The end. This is it. Did they say it in the movie?
No.
They never say it.
Maybe.
Fuck you. They say upstate, up north. Winslow, Arizona.
They never say the name of the city. It doesn't exist.
It's a trick question. I said Gotham.
That's a place. That's a real place.
It's a real place.
No.
Metropolis. I don't know.
He basically created a fictitious city, in a sense. It's more of like a symbolism type deal. Like this city, they keep saying this place, this city, and it's a horrible place. It's always raining. All this crime's always happening. Just everything associated.
Man was walking his dog the other night. Gave a man all his money and then got stabbed in the eyes.
I don't understand this place.
Thank you, Morgan, for showing up to the podcast tonight. Ah, you're welcome.
All right.
I'm God.
We'll see you later.
All right.
All right, all right.
Wait.
Matthew, McConaughey, what are you doing here?
I'm just past time handling my lots of money and handling my beautiful wife and just I told the podcast they didn't mean, but they needed a guy with down home enthusiasm and rock and bod and a nice smile to really tie this podcast episode together.
Well, thank you. You really tied the whole room together, man.
Yeah, man. I'm just gonna lay in your bed here.
Got some Funkos there for you to cuddle up with there.
Where's a Matthew McConaughey Funko? Speaking of Funkos,
they exist.
Do they?
There's one. I've seen one of Dark Tower.
Thanks. Where's a Matthew McConaughey Funko? Where's the Go Murph of him crying?
I want a movie scene one. I'm in the bookshelf. That's what I want. Anywho, where was I? Oh, the city. Yeah, a fictitious place. It's always raining. There's all these crime going on. A horrible place. And he just used it as a tool for setting the mood where you're emotionally going to be taken in this movie. And he places these characters in
to Batman Begins, Gotham. I almost said Boston.
Kind of puts them in hell if you think about it.
The seven rings of hell. Eight circles of hell. That I could never read Dante.
You had to read the Cliff Notes.
Yeah, I did. I had the translated version. I would usually try and read it, and I'd be like, I'd do what he does, what Brad Pitt's character does. I'm like, fucking Dante.
Fucking poetry shit. Yeah. that was good because we were just making fun of that. You're like, I can't read this shit. Morgan Freeman's in the library reading it, and he's just sitting there reading the whole fucking thing. And yeah. I was like, see, I wish I had the patience for that. And you're like, yeah, I wish I had the patience to read Dante's Inferno, too. got the untranslated version, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah.
He's just educated and dangerous.
And dangerous. So, yeah, we got our mood set here, and we got our setting, and David Fincher's providing us with all that with his style, his camera work, and his cinematography. We got the setting, and now here are our characters. Mm-hmm. We got Somerset, played by Morgan Freeman, and we got Detective Mills, played by Bradley Pitt. And Somerset there, he's getting ready to retire. He's been a cop for way too long.
He's too old for this shit.
And he's going to retire in, ironically, seven days.
Yeah, they said that. He's like, at the end of these 7 days, I'm like...
There's the movie.
There's the movie. There it is. I'm like, that's why it's called Seven.
That's why it's called Superman, The Quest for Peace.
That's why it's called Super Mario Brothers.
So, he's going to retire, and the guy coming along to basically replace him... starts this day, and that's
Detective Mills.
Detective Mills. He spent 5 years in homicide. I don't know what fucking accent that was.
Brad Pitt accent.
Hey, and and wouldn't you know, there's a good old murder, possibly murder, and they show up.
A fat man in a bowl of spaghetti.
AKA me on a Wednesday night.
I wish.
When's the last time you fucked with some SpaghettiOs?
I did not know where you were going with that question. Like,
when was the last time you fucked with spaghetti-os? Wait, what?
SpaghettiOs and hot dogs. I have not had SpaghettiOs in years, but a psychopath. A dangerous psychopath. Don't let this town take it away from you. I don't know. I used to put Parmesan cheese in my SpaghettiOs, though.
You.
A dangerous psychopath.
You're a dangerous psychopath.
When you wake up in the morning, do you think, like, fuck, I am insane?
I put Parmesan cheese and hot dogs in my SpaghettiOs.
Yeah, so deal with it.
I put crushed red pepper in mine. So.
I know you do. You put crushed red pepper in everything. I put garlic and Parmesan cheese in everything. It's
bowl
okay.
Cereal, crushed red pepper. It's in there. Ice cream, crushed red pepper.
That might not be bad.
What?
It'd be like spicy.
Spicy ice cream.
Spicy ice cream. It's probably out there.
I'll get vanilla ice cream and some sriracha. That's some bullshit that this John Doe would make. That this
you,
crazy
you'd go
guy.
Behind the bookshelf.
Go behind a painting in my living room. You take it off. There's nothing. But you turn on a black light. It says,
help me.
It says, help me, sriracha, vanilla ice cream.
And blood. But the blood's washed away. So that's why you need the black light.
The blood is from my stomach from eating that. You know, every movie night or podcast night, I try to make a meal themed to the movie. And you were like, I'll order takeout. And I was like, yeah, fuck it. We'll just eat takeout. So we didn't make anything based on this movie. Initially, I was like, I'll make spaghetti.
But, I don't think I would have been able to stomach it, though.
And then I was like, no, this movie's like a murder crime drama. And the ending, we'll get to the ending. But I remember being at Woolies, and they sold, like, pig heads. I was like, we'll eat a head.
But anywho, yeah, this movie gets into it real quick, and
we're at Gluttony.
Gluttony, yeah.
Gluttony. Over some SkettyOs.
Yeah, yeah, and that's basically how he died, they come to find out, is he was just chomping down on Skettys.
Yeah, and that's really where these characters are, like, this is just the tip of the iceberg on what they're about to fall into.
Yeah, you don't think anything of it.
Yeah,
really.
That they didn't really either, other than it was a bizarre murder, because this gentleman was tied up at the feet and wrists with barbed wire. He had bruises on the back of his head and the front of his head, possibly from a gun barrel, and this dude ate himself to death until they find out he was kicked and it ruptured his stomach.
Yeah.
Okay. And Morgan Freeman's character, Somerset, he doesn't think Mills, Brad Pitt, is ready for this kind of case. He doesn't think he's ready for the city.
Yeah.
That's where we find out a little bit more about Brad Pitt's character. He's been around the block. He's a detective, just the same as Morgan Freeman's character is.
Homicide 5 years, but not here.
Not here. And, yeah, so they kind of go their separate ways in a sense. Like, he's going to stay on that case, the Gluttony case, because they find it says Gluttony above behind
the fridge. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots of clues being left behind, and Brad Pitt.
But no fingerprints.
No, none at all. And, Mills goes off, and he finds another murder. One that says greed. And
blood.
And
there's blood circles around the picture of the wife's eyes.
Indeed.
The man that they killed. So they now he knows that Somerset kind of comes to the conclusion that they're deadly sins, and there's 7 deadly sins. He says, you can expect 5 more of these. And he wants nothing to do with it. He wants off the case.
Yep.
He does not want this to be his last case.
And he just knows it's going to go on for years, or it will come to nothing, and it's just going to be like a bloody road.
Yeah.
Long bloody road. So he doesn't want to have anything to do with it, but I don't know. It's something about that connection between Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt, their chemistry together, but also their characters, the way they've been presented to us as of right now. There's like this little awkward butting of the heads. Okay.
The old guard and the new guard.
Exactly. And then they have to share an office because Mills is taking it over. Somerset's still working. They're going through that weird transition too. Little phone call. This is to a gem of a scene where Brad Pitt's or Mills' wife, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, Tracy, gives a call in, wants Somerset to come to dinner, meet the partner, you know. So comes over, and this is where the bond kind of forms between Somerset and Mills. And it's a nice change of pace, too. Some levity is brought to the movie because it's pretty heavy up till now. It's still in this, like, dreary setting. Right?
Yeah. It's the lighting. It's very dim lit. They're right underneath a subway or right above a subway. So, like, when the trains go by, everything shakes. A relaxing, relaxing, vibrating house.
yeah. It has the kind of visual setting that you can, like, feel. You know, it's so gritty.
It's very nice.
What's that?
The way that she had it, the setup.
she had it decorated real well.
Yeah, she did. It's Gwyneth Paltrow. What else do you expect? It's Pepper.
Pepper Potts.
Yar.
She's something. She's a nice setting to look at mm-hmm. herself. She's a nice lady.
Yeah.
And yeah, that dinner scene is great. It provides some levity. You get to see the better half of Mills. Okay. And from there, they're able to dive into the case a bit more. And Tracy kind of forms a little bit of a bond with Somerset. In that he's the only other person she knows in the city. They just moved there. And she trusts him. So the next day, she asks him if they can meet. And they meet, and they talk some things over. They talk really about the city, this place.
Mm-hmm. She's the only one he knows here.
Mm-hmm. And he hates it there. And he tells a story about how he had a girl once, and it was almost like a marriage, and he loved her, and he found out they were pregnant. But he did not want to bring a child into this world. It's so
too dangerous.
Yeah, it's too dangerous. So, and ugly is how he really feels about this place. And then this is a side note, another interesting thought I just had, like, maybe the city, maybe in Somerset's eyes, it's not just the city, maybe it's the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
It's ugly.
We'll get into it a little bit later, but yeah. I feel like he's like a solid foil to the killer in a sense. They almost have the same thinking. One's acting
We'll have to get into that a little later. But he convinces his girl not to have the baby. Mm. Now, a day goes by that he doesn't not regret that decision because he truly feels his place is that bad. But not a day goes by that he wishes he made a different decision as well. So he finds out that Tracy is pregnant. Okay, she's having a baby, but Mills doesn't know. And she hates this place. She hates this town. And she doesn't know if she wants to bring a child into this world, you know, this place.
Yes.
And he tells her that if she decides not to have the baby, don't tell Mills. Don't ever tell him. But if you do decide, you spoil that kid rotten every chance you get.
Yes.
I love that scene. I really did. Actually,
it's like one of the most like little heartwarming moments.
It actually got me a little choked up too. It's Gwyneth Paltrow. It's her reaction that got me. It was very real, and you're right. It does touch your cockles, and it really gives you a good chance to care about all three of these characters, all three of these characters. Yes, because you're connected, you care about Mills because of his wife and the fact that they're gonna have a child. You care about Tracy because she has a child and she's so innocent in this whole city, and you care about Morgan Freeman because he's Morgan Freeman. And all three of these actors are so good. Some of their best work, if you ask me, especially from Brad Pitt, man, especially in the final act of this movie, he lights the screen on fire.
Yeah, he does.
And they continue on. They continue on with the investigation. Pardon me. And what murder is next on the old
next
list here?
Comes after they find greed, then they move on, and the next one is not pride.
It's sloth.
They find the man.
Yucko, well, that's sucka.
Yeah. What happens is they kind of figure out off of greed. They find behind the wife. They interrogate the wife, or not interrogate, but talk to her, and she tells them that the painting in his office is upside down. So they go inspect the painting. Behind the walls, they find written in fingerprints on the walls, "Help me," and they track those fingerprints to a name, a man that just got out of prison. They end up storming his house. SWAT breaks in. No one's there. And they see someone's under the covers, and it's a very, basically a skeleton. mm-hmm. basically a skeleton that's been tied there for probably a year, I believe they say. Mm-hmm. He's been just stuck there, becoming nothing but skin and bones, pretty much.
This big, big sloth written above the bed, and a series of photos, just like one a month. And you can like see this man deteriorate in these photos. One was taken 3 days ago, you know, that kind of thing. Dude's hand's missing, but he's dead. And they go to investigate further, and this sucker takes a big old breath, and it's disturbing. It's so disturbing. And there are a lot of elements of that in this movie, just disturbing, whether it's from the dialogue or the thoughts, or especially each and every one of these murders and how they're conducted to incorporate one of the seven deadly sins. Disturbing. This one, visually, can be very effective and disturbing. And
oh, yeah.
Stick with you for quite a while.
That's why I don't like these films when I usually watch them.
Ah, man. That guy's brain got turned to mush,
yeah.
as they said.
Yar.
And he, I'm assuming he does eventually die.
Yeah, because he lives through it, and they're like, get a medic! And then, like that's
why?
It. Why? Yeah, that's it. But, yeah, so they get through that murder, and then the next one, well, they come to his house. They pay off a druggie or a guy.
Yeah, not to get too into it, but they basically pay off someone who kind of is in contact with the FBI to look into records of the library to see who checked out what. Yes, it's illegal to do that, but they're not using that as evidence. They're using that as a guide to maybe find who our guy could possibly be, who is our murderer. And they get a list, and they start checking off who it could be. They go to a set apartment, and it's our boy.
Yeah, and he shoots at him, and then the nice big chase ensues.
Pretty intense.
Yeah, it goes right after him, and he ends up getting clocked on the head, old Mills.
Mills
gets
baby.
Knocked out, and the gun's pressed against his head, and then the killer just leaves.
Yeah.
Walks away.
Spares him.
Yeah, spares him, and then they come to find out that actually they had their picture taken by what they thought was a paparazzi at the previous crime scene, and as they're walking through this man's house, the suspect's house, they find the pictures from that crime scene.
Yeah.
The paparazzi guy was actually the killer.
Oh, killer, dude.
Yeah, so then they, from there, what, the
they
next,
move on
yeah.
to,
Pride.
Pride or Lust, I'm not too
Pride
positive.
Happens, no, yeah, it's Lust, because Lust happens, which, yeah, he makes, he basically makes a guy have sex with a prostitute with a knife.
Knife dildo.
Yeah.
Knife strap on dildo.
It is, yeah, let's skip over that one. That's rough.
That one's cringy, but.
Even his confession, though.
That was, yeah, so I was going to jump to.
He's, like, destroyed
he
from
is,
it.
That actor, you
that
even
was,
said.
Like, Oscar scene.
Like, Oscar scene. Because he is so good, and you just believe, like, that's how someone would react to that.
Yeah.
It's pretty
brutal.
Yeah,
gun to his head, he couldn't do anything.
It's
he
brutal.
Wanted to live, but at the same time, he had to kill someone because of it.
Yeah, God Almighty.
Yeah, and then Pride. It was he glued a cell phone in the one hand, and sleeping pills in the other, and told this beautiful woman that
beautiful woman, then he cut off her fucking nose.
Well, he said if you can call people. Call for help, but I'll cut up your face.
No. He already cut up her face, and she had a cell phone and pills in her hands, glued there. She couldn't let him go. Her face was hacked the fuck up. You could call for help, and but you'll be disfigured the rest of your life, or you could take these pills and kill yourself.
I took it as he gave her the option of she could call for help, but as soon as she calls, he was going to disfigure her, or she could kill herself,
nah,
and they did it anyways.
He hacked her up, and she could call for help. But she'd be disfigured the rest of her life, or she could kill herself.
Yeah.
And she chose to kill herself.
So that was Pride. So now they were on the lookout for Envy
and Wrath.
And Wrath. So that leads them back to the precinct. They're walking in. Somerset tells Mills that, you know, I'm going to stick on this case with you. And as they're walking, it's really a good shot. They're walking into the precinct, and a taxi pulls up, and a man's feet get out. And to this point, you have not seen the killer. You've never seen his face. Even when the paparazzi showed up, they do a phenomenal job at covering up his face with, like, his hands and the camera. And so he walks in, and you hear him go, detective. Detective.
Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Detective! have?
Ow.
And they all turn around, and he says, I believe you're looking for me. And he puts up his hands, and he has blood all over his shirt, and his fingertips are all wrapped in little bandages. And
yeah, and it's Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey.
Oh, boy.
Prior to what we know now.
Yeah, well, this is 1995, this movie.
Yes.
Say what you will about Kevin Spacey.
When it comes to acting.
When it comes and came to acting, man, one of the best.
Yeah.
And he gives one of his best and most captivating performances in this film. So we're in like the final stretch, last 30 minutes or so. And
it's like the film just picks up even more.
Yeah, it puts a pedal to the metal here, and as far as drama goes, and you are just glued to the screen, and you're listening and waiting on every single word these people say.
Well, what's interesting, just to go off of that real quick, is like, when we watch these movies, we watch them, and a lot of times they're movies that we've seen. So we'll joke around here and there, or make comments here and there, and very often, you know, even with the movies we haven't seen in a while, we'll still make a couple comments here and there. And we were doing that for this film, but as soon as he shows up and it's Kevin Spacey, I don't think we said a word to each other. Maybe one or two, but it was like we were both like just hanging on it.
Yep, I believe that is correct. And and another brilliant thing this movie did was in all the marketing, in all the posters, all the interviews, everything, Kevin Spacey's not mentioned once. And they kept the identity of this killer such a secret to a degree it went beyond the movie itself. It was no one knew.
Mm-hmm.
No one knew Kevin Spacey was in this movie. There was no internet back then. There's no IMDb. And me as well, when I first watched this movie, I was in high school. And I didn't know Kevin Spacey was in this. So when he pops up there, I'm like, what the fuck? American Beauty, what are you doing here? He turns himself in. But why? This is a criminal mastermind, in a sense. He's a devoted psychopath to his master plan.
To his madness.
Yeah. So they assume it's a trap, but they want to figure it out. What is he up to? He has two more. He wouldn't just give up now. And
I want to talk to my lawyer.
Yeah, it turns out to be this big thing. It's part of a grand scheme. He will turn himself in, and he will show them the last two bodies. But Somerset and Mills have to come with him and escort him to where they are. And we're off. The finale in the desert. You want to touch on that?
Yeah, so they ride out to the desert, and they have a really good... If you are like, I don't think I could stomach some of these kills, but I want to see like the bulk of this film, watch the last 20 minutes. Them driving in the car, talking. He's trying to kind of get into the mind of the killer. And that's why I kept saying, Mills is asking them, you know, like, do you know you're insane? Like, you know, I see you as insane. Do you know you're insane? He said, well, I'm no more insane than you are. And he's like, well, you killed all these innocent people. And he says, innocent. And he goes on a big rant. Like, he says, an obese man who everyone would, if you saw on the street, everyone would point at, and you would get your friends to join in and make fun of them. Or a man that you would see that he was so fat that if you were eating your meal, you wouldn't be able to finish it because he was so fat. And then what's he say? That a man that had made a life out of being greedy and making money, letting rapists and criminals run free. And a man that did nothing but pump drugs into his body and sit around, and a woman that couldn't stand to live life without being beautiful, and a whore, as he puts it, that spreading disease. Mm-hmm. They all deserved it. They weren't innocent. You see a sin on every corner, and everyone lets it go free. It's part of life. He's putting a stop to it.
Yeah, he's saying he was part of a bigger plan. You know,
what he's doing is important.
Yeah. He was basically saying it was he was carrying out the word of God, pretty much.
Yes.
And he had a higher calling.
And what I love too is they just keep calling him John because he's John Doe. No one knows his real name. And that's another thing. The city doesn't matter who the city is or where the city is. The name of the killer doesn't matter. He's the killer. He's at the end of the day, he's this man that, and he didn't want to have a name. He's just a person. He's He's no different. That would, I think what that tells me is he's no different than anyone else is really what it boils down to. He's nobody, but he's could be everybody at the same time. He's just
like
a human.
That city.
Yeah.
That could be anywhere.
Yeah, he's just a human. And that's going off of that with Somerset. Like I said, Somerset hates the city. He's come to hate the people in it, hate the lifestyle that it provides. He hates the apathy of it all, that it just abides by people being, you know, rapists, druggies, things like that. And he does not like that world anymore. He wants out. So you can kind of see he's almost very similar in his thinking to the killer. But at the same time, in my head, it's just like the killer took it to that radicalized level. You know, he evolved a little too far in his thinkings. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because they're kind of almost have the same thinking where Brad Pitt's almost like – he does great. He's phenomenal. But he's almost so like not naive but just such a – he's arrogant, very arrogant to the fact.
In that car ride scene at the end, you get a very good feel of these three powerhouse characters of who they are, what they're like, and what they kind of represent. Somerset's just driving calmly, contemplating – formulating, and he when he finally does talk, he kind of calls John Doe out on some of his shit.
Yeah,
John Doe, you fully understand and believe that he believes everything he's doing is for the greater good. And
I believe you believe that, John.
Yeah, and then Mills, he's just like a hothead.
Fuck this psychopath.
And he's quick. He's quick to the anger. He's quick to the yelling and the swearing and the putting down. And getting in this guy's face. But you also get a sense that John Doe is so intelligent. He's like kind of like egging him on just with his words.
Yeah.
Like, am I digging at you? Like, come on. Give me the keys, you fucking cocksucker.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's a different movie. They finally get to the location. They get out of the cars. They make their way into this little desert area. All of a sudden, delivery truck comes fucking barreling in like it's fucking I was like, that thing's going way too fast on the dirt road,
GTA shit. And Somerset runs up to it and receives a package. That man was paid $500 to deliver it at 7, and I'm going to open it. He delivers it at 7. It would have been better if he's like, he paid me $700 to deliver it at 7, and I'm like, hold on now.
On July 7th,
2077, 7,700.
Of the day you go back.
No, I won't have it. But yes, so he delivers it at 7. Somerset opens it, and he sees something inside. He just is very shocked, and he looks over at Mills. Mills has his gun out, and John Doe is in the field. And he runs up and he says, and from here on out, spoilers.
I was just going to say, can we pause? Because part of the joy of this movie is this finale, is this ending. So everything building up to this and everything afterwards formulates just this like very potent, very delicious meal of a film that you get to digest after it's done. So if you haven't seen it yet, either pause the podcast, go watch it, and then finish, or skip ahead, because this,
if you've gotten
this is some
far,
good stuff.
Maybe you're willing to go a little further.
What's that from?
It's Shawshank Redemption. Red. If you've gotten this far, maybe you're willing to go a little further. So if you've gotten this far in the podcast, maybe you're willing to go a little further.
Oh, boy.
You remember that Mexican village? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anywho, as you were.
Yes. So, spoilers. He sees something, kind of looks at Mills. He's very shocked, and he tells the helicopter that's been circling very high, he says, don't come down here. John Doe has the upper hand. Don't come down here. And he starts running towards Mills very slowly, telling him to put his gun down, throw his gun away, put it away. And the whole time he's doing that, Mills is just kind of getting angry. He's like, what? What? And Kevin Spacey's telling him, like, you had a very nice life. I enjoyed it. I envied it. I guess that's my sin. I tried to come over, and he basically tells him that he came to his house and tried to play husband, and it didn't work. So he killed his wife.
Took
a souvenir. Her head. Her pretty little head.
What's he talking about? What's in the box?
What's in the box?
What's in the box? What's in the fucking box?
Yeah, and then
what's in the box?
Yeah, and then he
what's in
the
what's in the
what's in the box? But that has to be the drop. yes. So it basically comes to fruition that he wants John Doe wants Mills to shoot him in the head to become his wrath. He's envy. He wants him to be killed by wrath. And
if you kill him, he wins.
Yeah, and that moment is probably the best because I couldn't remember if he did it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I could not remember for the life of me if he did
it
or not.
Oh, God.
He's, like, thinking about it, thinking about it. He keeps putting the gun up, pulling it back down. He's turning away. There's even a moment where he, like, turns away and looks up so determined and then puts it right back down. Like,
God.
Yeah, it's great.
And he looks down, and there's, like, a frame, just a little boop of...
of his dick. Wait.
wrong movie. that's
Fight Club.
Fincher movie. Yeah.
what if it was a beep?
Like, someone re-edited
he snaps. Die!
Penis envy. Maybe he's envy. So, no, he gets a little blip of his wife. Just her face.
And he finds out that she was pregnant as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
That's really what does him in.
Yeah. He's like, he had no idea. And it was John Doe that told him that, you know, wife was pregnant. And they're both dead. And he has that little blip. And he just, and he just unloads. And it's like, oh, my God. He just feels so horrible.
Because, you know, his life is screwed now.
His life is hell.
He has to go through life with the knowledge that not only did his job ultimately kill his wife and his unborn child, but also that he owes his life to the killer. The killer let him live. The killer could have killed him.
Yeah,
and
that alley really spared him. And he has to live every day with all that. And that was his grand scheme.
Yes.
That was his master plan.
He's going to make him famous.
Yeah. My God. Oh, my God. Yeah. So crazy.
It's a crazy film. Ending. It's amazing. Acting is amazing. The way the film plays out is amazing. That finale is ridiculous and keeps you on the edge of your seat. The one thing that I think that this movie just missed the mark on, and it's a rare miss, is the music. Mm. It's Howard Shore, and it's just, I didn't like it. There was nothing that really stuck with me, no sound. I almost would have done without the music in certain scenes. I was like, this is just, the music is blaring, and I can't hear anything. I can't even, like, pay attention to the movie. Like, when they're going with the SWAT to break in and find Sloth, and the music, like, I made fun of it because it sounded like Godzilla music. Like, it was, like, just so loud and, like, obnoxious.
You're like, when did this turn into an action movie?
Yeah, and it just didn't, it didn't work.
It kind of, yeah, I agree. I think it's good. Like, I think it's good music, but it doesn't stick to the ribs of this movie, you know what I mean? Like, it felt like it could have been in a different movie, maybe.
Yeah.
But there is some music that fits, especially in the opening credits. The opening credits, they were done by... I think it was Nine Inch Nails, and good stuff. And that the visuals of that opening credits are really great. Check that out. That I agree. As in, like, I don't, for me, I don't think it's a, like, a negative on the movie. It's just something that's, like,
I said, it's just a miss.
Not the greatest. But everything else is very solid. Something else I really enjoy about this movie is it kind of gives you the less is more treatment, in that this is a very brutal movie, but honestly, a lot of it, like, you get hinted at.
It,
like,
leaves a lot to the imagination.
Oh, yeah, especially lust.
Yeah.
Okay? The lust murder, you really don't see anything, but you get the visual of how it was done, not... what the aftermath, like, you don't see the body. Mm-mm. You see how it was done and the man's story, and you put it in your head.
Yeah,
less is more. You don't,
it takes that Jaws method.
Yeah,
you see the monster, but you know what happened.
Same with the killer. Like, you don't know who he is, and it makes him all the more terrifying.
Yeah, could be any, and at the end of the day, it really is, it's anyone. Mm-hmm. Even right down to, like, he has thousands of notebooks that if they got 25 men working 24-hour shifts, it would still take them 2 months to read these notebooks. And, you know, he's reading the one, and it's interesting because he's just writing his thoughts, basically. But it's, A man walked up to me on a subway. We made small talk for a while. After a while, I couldn't hold back my disgust, and I threw up on him. Like, but at the same time, you think about it, and you're like, he was a normal, everyday person. This person that he threw up on had no idea that he was a killer. He was a normal person, very intelligent person, well-off, inherently wealthy, I think is what they say. So it's kind of interesting that he's like anybody. He can be anyone.
Yeah. But, yeah, just the fact that it doesn't show you everything.
Yeah.
But it gives you enough to use your brain. Pardon me. And, yeah, it's an intelligent movie. And it doesn't treat the audience – it treats the audience with respect. And it makes it fun to watch, even though it's not for everybody.
Yar.
It's a very rated R, gritty crime drama. Mm. And with really? A very, very heavy ending. And I believe it was Hemingway. I think he once said, "The world is a fine place and worth fighting for." I agree with the second part.
Worth fighting for.
That's the final line of the movie.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, good shit. This one, a lot of people on the interwebs and some of our followers, they're like, "Do 7 or else." Like, geez, Pete, take it easy.
Well, here we are.
Here we are. 7.
I finally watched it.
Yep.
Now I finally watched it. Now I have to go home because
my wife.
You know, ye old fiance isn't going to be home tonight, so I'm going to be like, "Yeah."
Oh.
I'll lay down in bed and like lock all my doors.
Be like, no one is allowed to come here and ask for souvenirs. Yeah. A lot of people love this movie. I know several people. This is one of their favorite movies all times. It's up there for me. I really enjoy this one. I think it's my favorite David Fincher movie. It's between this Fight Club, but I'd probably give 7. Girl Dragon Tattoo is really good too.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, what the fuck? Yeah.
I say no to good movies.
Yeah, you do. I don't know.
I don't know why you went into that.
I got lost.
You're like, I don't know.
the sound made me think of it. If you were to take SpongeBob characters and put 7 deadly sins to each of those characters, who would they be?
Together. Well, for the pod.
Do it for the pod.
We said greed was Mr. Krabs. We got pride is Sandy.
He likes money.
Yeah, and pride is Sandy. Envy is Plankton. Sloth is Patrick, or is it gluttony? Be sloth, I'd think.
Mm-hmm.
Sloth. What do you usually do when I go to work, Patrick?
Wait for you to get back. What does he win the award for?
Doing nothing longer than anybody else. Patrick, this award's for you.
What are you going to do now? I'm going to go protect my title. It does nothing.
Yeah. So he would be sloth. Gluttony would be that's the interesting one. Gluttony, who eats a lot in that?
Gary.
Bubble bass?
Bubble bass. Still no pickles. Gary. Gary the snail. All he does is fucking eat snail food. That's it.
All right. Gary the snail.
And then Wrath is old Squiddy Baby.
He is quite angry.
Yeah, he's angry, and he always lashes out.
Lust is SpongeBob, I guess?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't get why he would be lust.
Because he's...
He's thirsty boy.
He's thirsty. That's why.
He's lusting for them Krabby Patties.
That's it. There it is.
Yeah. He's just too happy.
Yeah, that's it. He's way too happy not to be lustful.
Well, speaking of...
Too full of love.
Speaking of placing characters into certain spots, why don't we submit this movie to the factory?
Oh, that wasn't the factory?
This wasn't the factory, no, yes. So on this portion of the podcast, we take the movie we just watched and we submit it to the factory. This is where we take the film and we change up the director, the composer, and the actors and actresses involved in the film to modern booking. So with that being said, I'm thinking for our cast, John Doe, Somerset Mills, and would you like to do Gwyneth Paltrow's character?
I didn't think of one.
I didn't either, so okay. I was just going to stick with the top, the three big ones.
How about for the character Tracy Mills, we go
Gwyneth Paltrow, because she hasn't aged in years. Gwyneth Paltrow looks the same.
There you go.
It's still beautiful. All right, so Seven, directed by Modern Day, coming out tomorrow. Coming out July 7th. Who you got directing your film?
Who you got, guy?
So I have two directors for my film. They've directed some movies. They have a feel to them, the way that they direct. I'm thinking of one specifically in my head that I think, based on it, they would do a good job with this film. But they have others that they have, like, their own filmmaking style. And that's the Coen brothers. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of No Country for Old Men.
Okay.
When I think of that. I mean, you've seen No Country for Old Men, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You kind of feel that it's had the dark grittiness to it, and the way the killer is portrayed in that movie is very quiet, doesn't say a lot. Javier Bardem, I believe, he's phenomenal. Josh Brolin's great. Tommy Lee Jones is phenomenal in it. That got me into Cormac McCarthy stuff, because that's a Cormac McCarthy novel. And it's... that's the way a lot of his stuff goes, very dark and gritty. But they, you know, they went, like, even Fargo. Like, Fargo has goofy spots. I mean, it's William H. Macy, and he can, you know, he's a phenomenal actor, but at the same time...
Francis McDormand.
Yeah, it's got goofy spots, but it's also got, like, really serious, dark parts to it. Mm-hmm. A lot of their movies have these, like, darker sides to them, usually. Mm-hmm. Even, like, Big Lebowski, Coen Brothers, correct? Mm-hmm. It's got a darker side to it, but it's like a black comedy, kind of like, yeah, a dark comedy. It's different. So it's I think they would bring an edge to this film, and I like them as a duo. I think they would do a good job with it.
I too had the Coen brothers before we started the movie. I was gonna have them as my choice, but I decided to go a different route while we were watching it. I went back to saying, you know, this is David Fincher's second movie, and kind of went off that and, like, his style bringing to I'm going different here. I'm going Mary Harron. Most notably, she directed American Psycho. Okay? She directed American Psycho, and then since then, she's done a lot of television. She's directed episodes of Constantine.
Criminal Minds?
Let me look here. I don't think so. The Nine, 6 Feet Under, Oz, The Following.
Oh, I love The Following.
I know you're all about The Following.
The Following's fantastic.
And then, she did this mini series called Alias Grace. So she's had her hand in all kinds of forms of genre. She hasn't really done too many movies. American Psycho is her biggest claim
to
fame there.
That's a great movie, and it's very dark and gritty as well.
Very dark and gritty. Very, very not for everyone. One of my favorite movies, for sure. And I love that it's from the female perspective, behind the lens anyway, as a director. And I think a movie like this could benefit from that. I believe that'd be interesting to see Seven told from that perspective, but also a woman of her experience.
You know, I'm not even going to fight you on that one, because I do like that pick. I love American Psycho. And I'm also going to not fight you on the basis that, like, I don't think we've ever on this show suggested a female
I don't think we've even brought
director.
One up yet.
So I really like that pick a lot. And I think that's a really, really, really solid pick. Especially with, you know, just because someone maybe hasn't directed that many movies doesn't mean that they're not going to be good at it.
I mean, like we said, David Fincher, he did TV, or he did commercials and music videos.
Yeah.
You know?
And even
and
on top
seven.
Of that, like Bradley Cooper, like Star is Born was his directorial debut, correct?
Yeah.
And, like, I mean, he's been around it, sure, but to direct it and star in it and produce it.
And,
like,
sing it.
Yeah, and sing it. You know, so like, just because you don't have that directing experience, or maybe, like, have been directing, like, big time movies, doesn't mean that you're not going to be good at it. So just the fact that she's maybe directed American Psycho and then directed a bunch of TV shows since, I mean, that Following is so good if you haven't seen it. And Kevin Bacon's phenomenal. I forget the actor that plays the killer in that show, but he's great.
Yeah,
in
I've
it.
Seen him in other
Iceman, Iceman from X Men is in it. Whatever his name
boy
is.
Bobby.
Yeah, he's in it. But yeah, I'll go with that. So Mary Harron.
Yep.
As our director. What about our composer?
I'm going with I'm dipping my foot back into David Fincher. I'm going with Trent Reznor. He's involved with Nine Inch Nails, but he did the music in fucking Girl, Dragon Tattoo. I think he could provide maybe the full mood of what you wanted. Maybe something more, more stringy and more like I don't want to say
insidious music.
Like maybe more synthy and stuff like that. He could definitely provide the right mood for this kind of movie. Old Trent Reznor, baby.
I went with Carter Burnell.
What's he been up to?
Coen Brothers composer, okay. Pretty much. Fargo, No Country for Old Men. He was on the music department staff. I don't know what that means, but for, Three Billboards. He was in that. He's done a lot of the Coen Brothers films. That was really why I was tying the director to their composer. But also, again, just going off that No Country for Old Men, that's such a good movie. It's more like a Western style.
I mean,
like
a modern Western. It is a modern Western. A lot of his movies are Western by design, not necessarily in genre.
Yeah.
But like Big Lebowski could be seen as a Western. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Just because the way they're made and the way they function.
Yeah.
And the music in them definitely provides that kind of feel. I could see something like that in this kind of movie as well. I'll flip you for it.
Alrighty, so heads, we'll go with Carter Burnell, and for tails, we'll go with a Trent Reznor. So here we go. Tails, Trent Reznor. Already your film. Take it away. So how I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it in order that they appear. So Somerset is first, then Mills, and then John Doe. Okay, the killer last, which is interesting because he's probably, theoretically, he's not really seen that much, really,
he's
when
not,
you get down to it.
But he's all too important.
Yes, exactly. So we'll do him last. So Somerset first.
I'm being very progressive in this factory here. You made a joke while we were watching it, and in my head I'm like, I'm already doing that. I am switching it up. Because typically if we see a movie and we're recasting it, we'll keep it like the same deal. Like if it was Morgan Freeman as Somerset in Seven, maybe we do like Danny Glover or something like that. Is that your pick? We'll see. Mine, I'm switching it up. I'm going my favorite commissioner, Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman.
What about Nick Nolte?
Oh, Bryson.
What if you had Nick Nolte up there saying, you don't need to see this, Mills? He'd be running to him at the end and be like, Mills, put your gun down.
He would be breathing like Sloth was. what if Jimmy Stewart was Somerset?
Wow. Well, Jimmy Stewart. Tell you what, Jimmy Stewart would be like, I'm going to open it. Open the box and be like, holy shit, there's a head in here. Get back. Mills, this fucker killed your wife. Shoot him. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll take my revolver. I'll shoot him. If we both shoot him, they'll know who shot who.
You took my words and you gave them meaning I never dreamed of. I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to die, Brandon. That's what's going to happen. You're going to die. From Rope.
What if he looked in that box? And it had her head in it, but it was like that scene from Vertigo, with his head, Jimmy Stewart, with my head, just going in and out.
What if? I think I might be the thumbnail for this podcast. That'd be good. But no, I'm going with Gary Oldman. Think of him from the Batman, the Dark Knight series, but. He's a very accomplished actor. He won a fucking Oscar for Darkest Hour, brilliantly portraying, what's his name? Winston Churchill. He's fucking Dracula, damn it. And he plays a very...
Butthead Dracula.
He plays a very delicious villain in...
delicious.
In Air Force One.
Yes. Get off my plane.
Phenomenal actor. Oh, I can't go without saying... him in Fifth Element. He You don't even know that. You don't even know that's Gary Oldman.
Yeah, he's so goofy in that.
But no, it's really his portrayal in the Dark Knight trilogy as Commissioner Gordon, someone who's seen it all and he's endured it all, but he has that comfortness in him, and he has the experience and the wisdom to like pass on, kind of deal. Going Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman. Commissioner Gordon. Great job, Captain. Not anymore. Tomorrow, take on the big job. Commissioner Gordon.
Thank you.
My Somerset, I went with an actor that maybe started his career more in the light of Brad Pitt's character. Like, he would probably be more one to take on Brad Pitt's character in the sense that that was more his type of role, like a hot shot. He's grown older. I don't think he's the same age now as Morgan Freeman was in the making of this movie. So he'd be a little younger, I think. But you can always make him look older. Fuck it. It's acting.
Who we got?
Will Smith.
Oh, shit.
Will Smith. I think he's in, his 50s, late 40s, early 50s. I mean, make him look older if you need to. He's had gray hair and looked pretty old in Pursuit of Happiness. But Willard Smith. Will Smith as Somerset. He's experienced. He's a great actor. Phenomenal actor. He's been getting kind of not the shaft as of late. But, you know, there was a time where I was like, name a Will Smith movie. You can't name a bad one. And now it's kind of changed where I'm like, name a Will Smith movie. You can probably name a couple.
Couple bad ones?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a time where it was like, name a bad Will Smith movie. It was like Wild Wild West was his worst movie. And even that is like, it's not terrible, terrible.
I could be like After Earth,
yeah,
or fucking Suicide Squad.
Yeah, so it's
he's good in that though.
He's just a great actor, and he would bring that experience to the role. And he would be a very, very, I think, a solid pick. He's great at delivering those monologues and being an intellectual and challenging people and things. You see what I mean though? That like if he was younger, he would be a good hot shot Brad Pitt character.
That's
more
of his wheelhouse right there.
Yeah. So what are you thinking? You want to flip for it?
I'm sticking with Gary, baby.
All right. I'll flip you for it. Heads, Will Smith. Tails, Gary Oldman. Tails, Gary Oldman. Fuck. I'm losing this movie. All right. Next up, Mills.
Mills.
Brad Pitt's character.
Who you got? He got his old Millsy.
So for me, I was thinking of a character that, or an actor, rather, that's played a hot shot as of late, played someone that can give orders, but also kind of be demanding, be angry here and there. I've seen him in a couple films, and they've done really well. They're kind of an up-and-coming actor in terms of, like, they're being cast in a lot of other films. And that's Oscar Isaacs.
Yeah, you're a little older here.
Yeah,
now.
A little older, but still, I mean, you said what? Brad Pitt was like 32?
Yeah, yeah.
Oscar Isaacs, how old is he? Probably in his 30s.
Yeah, he might be a little older than that, but that's okay.
But Oscar Isaacs.
Age is just a number.
Yeah, exactly. Oscar Isaacs for this, that's Poe Dameron. Poe Dameron, he's an Ex Machinima?
Ex Machina.
Ex Machina. He just got cast for Dune. What else?
He's in Drive. Yeah.
It's been forever since I've seen Drive. Who's he in that?
Okay, so Ryan Gosling falls in love with that girl.
Yeah.
And the girl has a kid. It's her husband who's in jail, and he gets out of jail, and he's going to do one last job, and he needs Ryan Gosling to help him.
Okay. Yeah, so Oscar Isaacs, he's a great actor.
He's in Inside Llewyn Davis.
Yes, yes, yes.
The Coen Brothers.
I haven't seen that yet, though.
If I had wings,
I've heard the song. Trust me, but yes. So I ultimately went with old Oscar Isaacs.
All right. I was, like I said, being very progressive in this one. I switched it up, so I had Gary Oldman being my Somerset for Mills. I'm going Michael B. Jordan. Creed.
Yeah.
Creed himself. Killmonger himself, and the Oscar-nominated Black Panther movie, but he's also been in Fruitvale Station. If you want to watch Tearjerker, check that one out. He's an incredible actor. Watch Creed if you haven't. Watch Creed 2 if you haven't. He's great in Black Panther, one of the good and best Marvel villains seen on the big screen. But he's got that fire side to him, and yeah, just also wanted to switch things up a bit. Brad Pitt is so good in this movie, especially in that finale. And all three of these actors really feel like irreplaceable. But I wanted to just give a new breath to this movie as if we're being made today. And Michael B. Jordan is on the tips of everyone's tongues.
True. Well, I'm going to fight you for it. I'm going to get my first coin flip here. Oscar Isaac is actually, he's 39 years old.
Yeah.
So he's a little older. Yeah, but people in their 30s playing teenagers all the time, so it doesn't matter. heads, Oscar Isaac's, tails, Michael B. Jordan. Holy shit! Tails. What are the odds of that, though? Like, that's... I got a 50-50 chance every time. Lost every time.
Yeah, have you? You haven't gotten
any of
those.
I haven't gotten a single one. Hopefully I get the killer, because I really like my choice.
Okay. I really like my choice, too.
Who do you got?
I'm going with Paul Dano.
Who hit me with it?
He got his milkshake drank, and There Will Be Blood.
Oh, he's the one that...
He got his milkshake drank.
All right, because I was like, that's Daniel Day-Lewis. No, it's like, I drink your milkshakes.
He's that guy. He's in Prisoners, where he plays the mentally challenged potential killer, and he's so good. He's in Swiss Army Man with Daniel Radcliffe.
That's on Netflix. I'm going to watch it.
It's on Netflix now?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I'm going to watch
it. I got to go, guys.
Yeah.
I love that movie, and Paul Dano is
incredible. I played just a quick clip of it for Claire, because my fiance and I are watching a Harry Potter movie. She'd never really seen them. She saw the first two, but other than that, she'd never seen them, so we've been watching through them. And I was like, you want to see what he's up to now? I showed a clip, and he's like, hi.
From Swiss Army Man. Yeah. Okay. He
sticks an eraser in his ear. He's like, listen to music.
That movie's so good. And Paul Dano is so good. He's one of those actors. He never gets like the big spotlight, right? But I think he's one of the best actors out there right now.
I went with an actor that's similar. He's always been great. And I think he's become more of a bigger name in the past couple years, probably within the past like 5 years. I think he's become a bigger name with age and with just performing at such a high level.
John Cena.
Sam Rockwell.
Ooh.
Sam Rockwell. Moon. He's in Iron Man 2. He's, what's the other weapon developer? What's his name in that?
Justin Hammer.
Hammer. Yeah, Hammer Tech. So he's in that as well. I even thought, like, if we were casting Brad Pitt's wife in the movie, Gwyneth Paltrow's character, I was going to cast his wife. Sam Rockwell's wife in real life.
Oh, yeah.
For that
role. I can't remember her name, but yeah.
Yeah, which is funny because they have a moment together in Iron Man. But Sam Rockwell,
some of his good shit.
Yeah, but that's what Moon's I'm saying. Good, recently, but... like, he was in Vice. He was George Bush, and he got nominated, correct?
Yeah, he's an Oscar-nominated actor.
He was in... Three Billboards. What is it? Ebbing's, Missouri?
He won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor in Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri.
Yeah.
Great movie. Great character that he plays. The arc of that character is phenomenal, and he definitely deserved to win for that movie. And the reason I'm like, if you won the coin toss, I will flip you for it. If you won the coin toss, I wouldn't mind, is his evil character in Green Mile.
Yeah. Yeah.
Psychopath.
Yeah. It was Billy the Kid.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy dude.
And he's just phenomenal. It's a different type of psycho.
Mm-hmm.
But
he's a little louder.
Yeah. I almost went with just to see what he was up to, Percy from Green Mile.
Oh, shit.
When I was looking through it, because he's a psychopath in that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a real one.
But Sam Rockwell is my pick. I think he'd be able to be a good crazy guy.
Take that coin.
I'm going to lose. I thought about it. I was like, I'll switch it to tails this time, and I'd lose again. So we're going to go heads, Sam Rockwell, tails, Paul Dano. Fuck!
Oh, God. Oh, God.
What's in the coin? I want what's fair.
I think this is the first clean sweep we've ever had.
I make my own luck.
I forgot to tell you to switch the coins.
It's a only tails on that coin.
So I guess this is my 7 movie.
Shit. I didn't win a single one. I had really I could have flipped you for the director. We're flipping for the director. It's Coen Brothers. Tails, Mary Harron. Yes! No, we'll keep Mary Harron. But I did win that coin toss at least. All right, so
whatever helps you sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Director Mary Harron originally directed American Psycho. Trent Reznor as our composer. Our Somerset playing Gary Oldman. Our Mills played by Michael B. Jordan. And our John Doe played by Paul Dano.
Mm.
Sounds like a movie to me that has Gus behind the production table.
You got a game for me, a question that...
Yeah. All right, so you have a killer coming after you. You have a killer coming after you, like the best serial killer in the world coming after you.
Okay.
You can have one serial killer from any movie to protect you. He won't hurt you. He's protecting you. He or she. Who you taking?
A serial killer, like a real one, like Ted
Bundy
or something.
No, I said in the movie, like a killer in the movie. Like you could go with any killer in a movie. Yeah, any killer in a movie. You could go with Kevin Spacey just sneaking up on people.
I won't stick up on.
Yeah, I'll just poke him on the street. No, I'm pretty sure he sneaks up on people.
A killer from a movie.
I'm sleeping.
To aid me.
And you have the best, like it's world's greatest serial killer coming at you.
Oh, so he's coming at me, and I want someone to like protect me, yeah. Or like serial kill that serial killer.
Yeah.
Sounds
like a card game.
Let me think on that for a minute. Can it be any kind of medium, whether it's
live action or cartoon?
I
want movies.
Okay. Movies, not shows.
No shows. Or else I'd have the Reaper from Criminal Minds.
Oh shit. Pardon me, I burped.
Fuck you.
Let me think here. It's tough. Tough.
Who
do you got?
I want Bateman. Patrick Bateman.
Patrick Bateman.
I want him naked with a chainsaw.
Oh, fuck.
Serial killer coming at you, and there's just Christian Bale naked in his shoes with a chainsaw from American Psycho.
Right out there, like, try getting that reservation at Dorsey now, you fucking bastard.
Yeah.
Like, ah! You win!
Even the serial killer would be like, nah. You know what? This is kind of crazy. I'm out.
Would it be cheating if I said something like a Freddy Krueger, you know? Because he's like a demon.
The serial killer that's coming after you doesn't sleep.
He's like, I'm sleeping. Or am I? What if I said, like, I was going to say, what if I say Jason?
Like, what if I say Satan? Can you...
Satan from South Park. No, what if I said Scary Terry?
Run. Can't hide, bitch.
I was going to say, what about fucking Jason Voorhees, but no one's fucking here, so he's not going to kill anybody.
Yeah, no. This killer's just coming at you.
Fuck. Patrick Bateman. That's a good one. That's a funny one.
He's ready. How about just your laugh? Just throw that out there.
How about me?
Yeah.
I turn around and I just come at him. I come at him naked with
you
a chainsaw.
You grab one of your katanas and you're like, ah!
Quick side note, TMI, I have an Evil Dead chainsaw. Like, you put your hand in it, and it's a prop I made for, like, an Evil Dead costume. Well, once I put on my Nikes, and it was Halloween time, and I got dick naked, but I put my junk inside the chainsaw so no one could see it. I chased my roommates around, and I was Patrick Bateman for Halloween. Anyway...
Here we are.
Ew. Who's that witch?
That's what I'm saying.
Who's that evil
you
witch?
Should get the three witches from...
from Hocus Pocus.
Hocus Pocus. Sick them.
I'm gonna
sick them, girls.
I don't know why my brain keeps going to to Dracula.
Greatest serial killer in the world's coming at you. He doesn't have... What if I told you the serial killer doesn't have a neck?
Well,
what if the serial killer wears garlic?
Well, you're giving too many rules. I want
something funnier.
What if for yours you had Patrick Bateman? What if the serial killer coming after you has a better business card than he has?
Then that serial killer's even more fucked.
That's bone. No, I'm going Dracula. He'll put his hand down and be like, "Come here, come here."
And but what if the serial killer's not a woman?
He fucks anything.
Van Helsing held back.
Listen,
Dracula died because he fell asleep.
Van Helsing.
Dracula died because he fell asleep.
That your serial killer could die because he fell asleep because Dracula come and
he doesn't sleep. I told you.
Jump his bones.
I already told you he doesn't sleep. Jumps his bones. What?
Dracula gets bored. yeah, Dracula. Fucking Renfield. You know, he's a dude, and he didn't get
master.
Yeah, that could become the serial killer coming after me. He could get possessed real nice, like by my boy.
By your boy Dracula.
Dracula. Dracula.
D Dubs. My boy D Dubs.
Bela Lugosi Dracula, not what's his fucking tits? Not Gary Oldman, obviously.
Nah, not Gary Oldman.
I was going Gerard Butler. He played Dracula.
Dracula 2000.
Yeah.
Shirtless Dracula.
Oh my. I have a question for you. What of the seven deadly sins? We all have a little taste of that glory in a bad way. Which one do you maybe find you identify with? Like, which one do you find yourself participating in, unfortunately, the most?
I would say, it's not greed, that's for sure. I would say, what would you think it is when maybe lust? Like, I always get something, or, like, in my mind, that, like, when we were younger, like, I always wanted a phone, like, a cell phone, and, like, I researched cell phones, and I was like, Mom, I need this phone, or this is why I want this phone, I'm gonna give you a presentation on why I want this phone, or, like, you know, I want, like, a Game Boy game, and be like, I'd research it, and print out papers on it, and, you know, things like that. Like, there's always something that I kind of, like, I obsess over. Claire always says, like, that's my tick. Like, I obsess over it. Like, once I have something, like, I want to, like, I research it, I obsess over it, I watch it a lot, or I watch videos on it, things like that. It commonly happens with, like, video games or technology or different things like that. Like, a couple years ago, it was, like, a smartwatch. I wanted a smartwatch really bad. And so I was, like, looking at smartwatches constantly. Would that be lust, I think?
I think it would be, because it's not greed for different reasons, and it's not gluttony because
I'm not most of the time I'm not getting it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's more like a pining thing. So I suppose a form of lust. Yeah. I definitely am between the two of gluttony and lust. Lust probably in the other way. I might have developed a reputation that I need to get rid of in that area. So maybe that one, or probably more so gluttony, though. If anything, I'm a glutton for punishment.
Hey, you buy a lot of Funkos too.
I buy a lot of Funkos. That's lust.
I'm like looking at your bed, and I already see like 20 Funkos on it.
Hey, those are my cuddle buddies.
Walk in, I see lotion and Funkos.
I'm crying. I guess this is a true story.
It's right there.
There's a big ball. Big, oh, I didn't know you were coming in.
Well, again, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you had company.
Holy shit. It's not what you think.
Two of them are leaving.
I almost pooped my pants. I had to, like, stand up and cover my butt. I was going to shit myself. It's not what you think. Two are leaving. It's not what you think. Two of them are leaving. Oh my god, I'm crying. I'm glad you're dead. That's right. Good stuff.
I think that's the show.
Yeah, I probably fall more under gluttony, overindulging myself, whether it be in Funkos or booze or just bad decisions. I tend to do those a lot. And
what? No.
Yeah. I'm working on myself, though, this past year or so. It's been a good incline in the positive realm, so I'll keep it up.
As we drink whiskey and wine.
Hey, yeah, not as much as I used to, so it's all good.
Hey. Still as many Funkos, though.
More than ever. I think over 120 now. How about that boy?
All righty. Well, that is the show, everyone. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check out some of our other episodes. We have a movie for everyone. Also, you can find us over on Twitter. On Twitter, we are at The Bros Movie Pod. We talk about movies we're going to be watching. We post when new episodes are arriving. Sometimes we put up polls. We also consistently retweet other podcasts that are really, really great. Give a lot of those a shot. Like to give those a shout out here on the pod. We're also on Facebook.
Yeah, just check out The Brothers Movie Factory. Facebook, search that. Do the same jams. We post what we're watching the week. You can find our podcast there. Post fun pictures, things like that. Just keep in touch. Yeah. Check us out on Facebook.
Yeah. So we're at The Bros Movie Pod on Twitter, Brothers Movie Factory on Facebook. And that is the show, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you had a good time. If you listen to us on whatever you listen to, that's fine. But we're also on other sites such as Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, and Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. So be sure to check it out there. All right? Everyone good? Everyone good for Betty Bye after that nice, nice wholesome episode?
Okay.
All right. Well, until next week, I'm Ben.
I'm Gus.
Brothers?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Brothers.
Brothers. What's in the brothers?
What's in the brothers?
What's in the brothers?